Now to the This Week annual Party Leaders series, where we meet each of the leaders. And today it's the turn of Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. You're very welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Carol.
And you're, of course, the Minister for Transport, Climate and Communications too. But first of all, before we get to all that, I want to ask you about the fallout from the final report into the mother and baby homes. Your own colleague, Roderick O'Gorman, is working on getting access for those born in the homes to their full birth records. And you heard Eamon Martin there, the Catholic Primate of All Ireland, saying that he believes that any records that are there should be handed over. Does this give you assurance that, what's needed can be done in a more speedy manner now?
It has to, and I'm convinced it will be. There are 22 actions the government now have to follow up on as fast as we can. Critical, those three issues in regard to meeting the church congregations, further action on the apology, on the restoration or recognising financially those who have suffered. But thirdly, in that critical one, in terms of help and support and clarity around information that thousands of people are still looking for in terms of their own records, their own information, their own birth certificate and details. And that's critical. Firstly, that the religious congregations help, and I welcome the fact that Archbishop Martin has said that that will now happen. But critically, we will adopt or progress at full speed the adoption and tracing bill he's mentioned there, which has been several years now delayed. I'm convinced it was discussed in length within government this week that using good GDPR principles, we can advance that everyone does have or should have, to the greatest extent possible, access to their records. And while this terrible period of tragedy and shame can never be forgotten, we can in some way help, I think, by making sure that all the records are available for everyone to the greatest extent possible.
Now, Mr. O'Gorman also expressed concern about the plans to develop the site of the former Bessborough home in Cork. And we also heard Eamon Martin there saying that he believes that any information that the orders have about where the babies are buried should be brought forward now. Do you agree that no development should take place on this site until all burial locations are identified?
I do. I mean, I think part of the site, as I understand, is in private ownership. And there is, I think Minister Gorman wrote this week saying that particularly to Umbor Pnála regarding any planning application for development, to be very conscious of the work that the commission had done, the surveying had that they had done, but that that inability to date to provide what Anne was looking for there, details on her baby Evelyn as to where that baby's buried. And I think it's absolutely essential that we do get that survey and get that information and get that we follow up with the congregations on what Archbishop Martin said, that all information regarding every baby on that site can be tracked and traced.
And the pharmaceutical company GSK declining really to say if they will pay any redress or apologise. Do you think that there is a moral obligation there to contribute to a redress fund, given that the company would have benefited from the trials for which they had no consent?
Where they had no consent, as was set out in the report, and as I think Rosemary, your contributor, said earlier, what was appalling, that lack of consent and the use of babies in that way.
So should they contribute?
Yeah, what I would imagine is that element of what we're going to have to do goes to the group of civil servants who will be now looking at this detail. It's one of the 22 actions that have to be taken by April, and that the ability of not just the those pharmaceutical companies, but other to contribute to a fund, that's the best place where it should be worked out.
Okay, let's move on to Brexit now. And hauliers are sounding big warnings that fresh food is going to run out unless we increase direct ferry sailings to France. There also seems to be an issue that France may be about to ask hauliers to provide PCR tests before they can go from Ireland to France. What do you know about that?
Well, firstly, with regard to increased capacity, we're seeing that. We've seen it already. There's been a huge increase in the amount of direct routes, direct ferry routes to the continent. That'll continue next week. Stena are adding a new sailing from Dublin to Cherbourg next.
Will one do it, or do we need many?
Brittany Ferries are also starting tomorrow to reintroduce a Rosslare to Cherbourg route. Irish Ferries have already enhanced their capacity, and we have a new DFDS ship running to Dunkirk. So there is significant additional capacity, and the companies, my understanding, will continue to be flexible in terms of if there is unmet demand, then they will shift, they will move larger ships to it. But just on that second issue, because we have, I suppose, a confluence of two or three things happening, well, two things particularly happening at the moment, the whole complexity of Brexit, but secondly, changing arrangements around COVID. And as you say, we have recently introduced requirements that all passengers coming into our country have to have a PCR test taken 72 hours before arrival. France is now doing something similar. They've indicated that they're looking for similar arrangements, that anyone coming into France from Ireland would have to have such a test. They may go further, and what they are looking at is the possibility that hauliers who at this point so far haven't had to have any such test would require an antigen test, not a PCR test, which is more complicated to collect, but
that
an antigen
cause
test.
Chaos, yeah.
Well, our department is working with the French colleagues and looking at mechanisms that we will if the French government comes back with that requirement, that we will have to manage that and make sure that we can do in a way that doesn't restrict or interrupt supply chains. That'll be demanding, but I'm confident we will be able to do it. It's part of the whole range of response we've had to make because of the COVID crisis, particularly in the transport sector. And I think what we've seen there is that the ferry companies, the airlines and others have responded quickly. Like we've introduced incredibly restrictive measures in the last 3 weeks in response to this new variant. And no one could have expected that we would introduce some of the measures we have, but we have to help our public health system, and we will do the same in the next week.
And can I just ask you on that, and going back to December when the decision was taken on the Christmas reopenings, why did nobody have the courage to say, hold on, January is always a really pressured month in the health service in Ireland, maybe reopening hospitality and allowing house gatherings could end in tears? Was there a groupthink? You were part of that decision.
In hindsight, I think both Taoiseach and Tonnage said this, and I would echo the same. If given what's happened since, clearly you'd look back and say we should have been more restrictive, not had any, kind of opening up in a way. But there was also at the time, there was a whole variety of issues taken into account, including the mental health. There was a lot of evidence analysis at the time showing that we'd been really through some of the most strictest lockdown conditions across Europe. And part of the balancing you look at is was that kind of mental health issue. But regardless of that, I think given the spike we've had since, clearly if you could go back a month or 2 months, you would look and see, well, perhaps even with those mental health difficulties, it would have been better for us to keep going with much stricter lockdown arrangements. The key thing is what we do now. And the key thing now is making sure, I think Ronan Glynn said that on last week, in terms of if we just keep looking back or looking forward, we won't focus on what we need to do now, which is to stay at home, which is to reduce contacts, which is to put in place the sort of measures we are putting in the transport system to reduce the risk from every sector.
Can I turn to climate? You formed a coalition with Fine Gael and Fine Gael on the promise that there'd be a commitment to reduce greenhouse emissions by 7% a year. Is that on track? And when are we going to know how much each sector will have to reduce emissions by?
The next 6 months will be key. We will introduce our new climate bill, which gives new powers to the Climate Advisory Council and sets out a mechanism where we do a series of 5-year plans to achieve that. It will take about 6 months to kind of develop the sort of detailed sectoral policies in each area. We can do it. It will be, in my mind, transformative and better for the country and better for the economy, because this is the way the world is going. It will put huge challenges on the transport sector, on the agricultural sector, on industry, on how we manage waste and how we create energy.
And are we ready for that?
I believe we are. I believe we are, because I think there's political consensus around it. But it is now the delivery of it is going to be key. We've seen, I've just looked back at the last week, or I could go back for the last 6 months. I've seen in our time of government, we have been able to introduce significant changes that will set us on the right course. We introduced a radical investment in the budget, and we'll go further now in the new economic plan that we are developing to fund the likes of retrofitting of homes, to fund the development of active travel and public transport. We saw this week the introducing, we're starting the mechanism now where people, households, will be able to sell their own power back to the grid, which will be part of this being a response that we're all involved in and can benefit from. We saw this week Bord na Mona moving completely, going from what they call going from brown to green, kind of setting their future, a future which can be rich in jobs in the Midland and good for the company, where
what
we
about
actually start
the just, sorry to cut across you there, Eamon Ryan, the Just Transition Fund, there was some word during the week that it had run into some problems, some projects that you had announced. Will that money be forthcoming? There was some suggestion that state aid rules were involved here and that clarification was needed. Are you confident that the money will go forward for those very vital projects in the Midlands?
I am. We have 63 projects, mainly community-based, which are part of the wide response to deliver just transition. One third of them, roughly, we're always going to have to get state aid rules clearance, and that's a standard process. We're helping with the various organisations doing that. And we will make sure in every way we can that there is sufficient funding or that there is mechanisms to make sure that they get off the ground. It isn't, and they're key, but we went further. We've had significant investment in Bord na Mona to re-wet some of the boglands that was previously cut to be able to store carbon, restore biodiversity, create the very same skills that were used in harvesting peat now in actually managing and protecting nature. And I see that across every area of the work we're doing in government, that we can do this, that it is actually good for society as well as the environment. And that's why I'm confident that when we set on these really ambitious goals, really significant change, that actually the Irish people will say, yeah, we want to be good. We want to play our part in protecting and restoring nature. I was listening to Stephen Donnelly earlier on, and he was referring to Mike Ryan in relation to the wider issue of vaccines or managing the virus. I also saw him this week speaking. He was at the Royal Irish Academy, and he made the point that actually what's happening, it's our destruction of nature is behind a lot of the stresses and the reasons for these pandemics coming. And he said, if we can apply the same flexibility and urgency and collective response to the protection of nature and the doing so in a way that's socially just, then there'd be a legacy out of this which could be positive.
And now we've plenty of time to think about that. Can I just ask you some party politics? Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald was quoted recently as saying that Sinn Féin could attract disaffected Greens. Are there disaffected Greens in your party? And if so, why?
There are some, because it is difficult being in government. It's difficult being in government in a hard time like this, when there are, it is very difficult to manage a crisis. Any of those leaving, you miss with regret, but there are equal number of very good people joining.
Was the Canadian trade deal a big issue, or is housing the bigger issue for people? I know a lot of people looking forward to that referendum on housing.
I think the three key issues for this government, the three key objectives that we've set ourselves. Yes, first is to protect our health service and reform it at this time towards universal healthcare services, towards the delivery of Sláinte care. Secondly, I believe for the Irish people, the key delivery is affordable housing for everyone. That's actually the biggest impact, particularly on younger people, their sense of future and opportunity and possibility in this country. Yes, that's absolutely key. And third is the development of a whole new approach to how we look after nature, how we tackle climate change.
Okay.
And I believe in doing that, we can help on the other two, that it is all connected. We live in a connected system. And by addressing those three challenges, we will serve our people well.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Green Party leader Eamon Ryan, thank you very much for joining us today.